It's electroshock therapy time.
Wakanda forever and never to part. Wakanda forever, it's true.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Whoa, Rita's a man?
Welcome back to more cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time.
Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Hello and welcome to yet another quarantined Jack of All Nerds show. I am the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me, as always, the J Crew, Derek Murray, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And Ron Swallow.
Hello. I'm here.
Thanks, Ron.
Always ready. Always ready.
Hello to those of you in the chat already. Q says, evening, gentlemen. Brenda Stone said, nerdy and B and me. Yes.
I don't know if that means. Yes.
But
you got it.
But thanks for commenting. The rest of you should comment as well. Tonight on the show, guys, coming up a little bit later on, we are going, there's this popular, it's not really a meme, but it's that thing where someone's like, one has to go and all their work has to go with it. Well, we've decided to take that to the next level. So we put out one of those and we featured four fairly popular actors. We featured Tom Cruise. We featured Will Smith. We featured Johnny Depp and one other person. Who was it? Anyone remember?
I don't know. It was Will Smith, Johnny Depp.
Oh, Keanu Reeves. I can't believe that's right.
Oh, I was like, did he say Keanu Reeves? I literally thought to myself, did he say Keanu Reeves?
Yeah. So, and we asked everyone to pick who they would want to see go, with the caveat that rather than all their work going, their movies would still be there, but we were going to recast their role in those movies with other actors from around the time period. Yeah. And it was a landslide vote for Tom Cruise.
Oh, boy. You guys do not like Scientology. My God.
Apparently everyone hates Tom Cruise.
It's so interesting because they go to all of his movies.
I know. Guys, this man is going to film a movie in space, and you're all like, fuck him. Get him out.
Yeah. Yeah. What's funny is that everyone must hate him, which is why they picked him. But now we're going to talk about him for like a half hour. So that's on you. That is on you. But that's coming up a little bit later. First, couple announcements that I want to make. So our giveaway for, we reached 1,000 subscribers on the YouTubes for the Jack of All Nerd Show. All right. And we started a giveaway, right? For this sweet, Deadpool statue.
Right?
Picture right there. All right. The, entry period for this is running until July 31st, 2020, in case you're watching this in the future. So you have the rest of the month to still go to jackofallnerdshow.com. The entry form is right on the homepage. Enter for your chance to win this sweet statue. And as an incentive, in case you're not subscribed, when we hit 2,000, I'm giving away this sweet baby.
Woo!
Hard to see. It's Batman. The light hates me. There you go. There we go. It's Batman. We're giving away Batman when we hit 2,000. That's a long way down the road, but it is going to happen. So tell the world. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. I don't know. Anyway.
Seriously, tell your mom and have her mom tell her moms and all their moms. Tell all
Facebook
the moms.
So normally at this point, we would be doing sponsors. But sad news, some of our sponsors are shut down for the time being. So the Etiwanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse?
They are... they're shut down currently because of the recent resurgence. Not that it ever went away, but people pretended like it did.
Basically, Independence Day, the sequel.
Yeah.
Coronavirus resurgence.
Pretty much. So they're shut down for the time being, but they're hoping to at least get back to, the delivery and curbside pickup soon, but for the time being, they are closed. Same with the Dinner Detective. At this point, it's looking like they're going to be shut down for the remainder of the year. That is up in the air, and it will be monitored as the situation progresses, but that's how it's looking to be right now. But Four Color Fantasies is still open, everybody. So head on over if you live in the Rancho Cucamonga area and get your comics and collectibles. And if you don't live in the area, you can get stuff delivered to you. In fact, even if you do live in the area, you can get it delivered to you because that's how much they care. So for more information...
Go ahead.
Just to say, for more information, visit fourcolorfantasies.com or facebook.com/4CF Rancho. Ron, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you guys, people out there watching, that leaves a spot open if you want to sponsor the show.
It does.
A lot of people watch the show, like legitimately.
They do, but I have a hard time enough getting people to go fill out their name and email to win a free statue.
Let alone have them give you money for get advertising on their show. Fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe you run a company out there that's like paying all their employees to stay home and you're doing great. And if that is you, we would love to talk about you.
We would absolutely. All right, well, let's kick it off with everyone's favorite segment, Crossing the Streams, everybody. And if this is your first time watching, that's where we all watch something on a streaming platform, doesn't matter which one, throughout the week, something we haven't seen before. And then we come together and we talk about it, give you a little review and a summation. So I'll kick things off. I watched The Floor is Lava on Netflix. And it's a game show that is equal parts Double Dare, American Ninja Warrior, and Wipeout, I guess, is the best way to describe it. Basically, there is a room filled with lava, liquid hot magma. And there's a bunch of obstacles, and contestants have to traverse the room without falling in. And I was really hoping to love it, but there's two factors that pull me out of the show. One is the host, and he's not even really on screen most of the time. It's just his voice. But and I'm familiar with Rutledge Wood from other things. I watched him on the American version of Top Gear, and also there was the racing show that we watched on Netflix, Derek. He was one of the
Hyperdrive, right?
Hyperdrive, yeah, he's on Hyperdrive. But here, it's just all him, like just bad jokes and commentary, and you're just like, stop it. But also the contestants are obnoxious as fuck, and I wanted them all to fall in the lava most of the time.
So unlike Hyperdrive, you weren't rooting for anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Hyperdrive is like up here above the camera, and this is right down here. Like, it is fun. The obstacles are fun. It looks dangerous. You get to see some pretty gnarly wipeouts. I have a hard time getting past the obnoxious contestants who I'm sure are coached to be as over the top as possible. But yeah, it's just, it's not really for me. So I'm giving it a 2.5 out of 5. It's average.
You know what? That's what I give that game anyways. The game we played when we were kids, The Floor is Lava. That's a dumb game. It's why did they even make a game show out of the dumbest game we played when we were kids?
I just pictured Ron as a kid just playing this game with people. And they're just like, guys, I'm giving this a 2.5 out of 5.
This is not a good game.
You, Travis, you're announcing? Not good. Not good. Didn't like it one bit.
Yeah, you kept yelling. The floor is lava. The floor is lava. I don't like it.
We get it, bro.
Dan Moriam says it's real lava, by the way. All those people died.
Oh, well, in that case.
That would have made the show so much better.
But it's 2020. Fucking anything goes, bro. Let's do it.
Yeah. Let's make our own game show. Who gets punched in the face?
Yes.
So, who's up next?
I'll go. Okay. Unless Derek is ready. Are you ready, Derek?
I'm always ready.
Derek is bursting at the hips.
I'm really not. I'm going to taper down. You go, Ron. I'm going to taper down. Yeah, I'm going to taper it down. Don't worry.
Okay. I watched 4 episodes of The Order. or as I like to call it, supernatural light. It's actually, it's pretty fun. The concept is basically there's a kid who wants to get into this school. He gets into the school, and then he wants to get into this secret order. And at first you're like, why does this kid want to get in? His dad really wants him to get in. What's going on? There's a mystery. And then a little bit of mystery is revealed that, like, his mom was involved with this guy. And then it turns out that guy is somebody important. Yeah, I don't want to give anything away just in case you do watch The Order. Although it's revealed pretty early in the series, obviously, since I'm only up to episode 4. I think maybe it would have been smart to wait till, like, the end of this, of the first season, to reveal that the main character is important. You know what I mean? Or, like, the main and bad guy is important to this person's life or whatever. But so far, it's better than I thought it was going to be. There's some good funny moments. Of course, everybody's very attractive because whoever made the show was like, watch Supernatural and Lucifer and a few of those other shows. And we're like, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll take Supernatural stuff and we'll make everyone very attractive. People will love this.
The rule of thumb is, if you're modeling your show after anything on CW, ugly people don't exist. That's just a rule.
And unless you're 5 seasons in, like Supernatural, and then they are like, hey, we want to put these great actors in the show. And they're like, well, you guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah, but Crowley's the only exception. But even his charm, like, bumps his number up from like a 5 to a 7.
Well, anyway, they had some
show altogether.
They had some other hunters, but you're right. No main characters at all.
Yeah.
No main characters. Some side characters were like kind of goofy looking, and they had some regular looking people in there, which I liked. Lucifer has zero regular looking people. There is no not hot people in that show. Well, this show
in Los Angeles, you know, there's no ugly people in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't live here.
Yeah. Check out those abs.
Technically, I live in the Valley. So arguably, I don't live in LA and I'm allowed to be what I look like.
Fair enough.
But it's a fun show so far. I want to get deeper into it before I can really rate it. But on 4 episodes, I will say that in these 4 episodes, I want to watch more. So I'll give it a 3.8, 3.5. Check it out if you're into any supernatural show with a little bit of comedy and all that sort of thing. So, yeah. That's it.
Cool. Real quick before you get into it, Derek, Timothy Beckett said Anakin Skywalker was terrible at the floor is lava. he was hands down the worst. He was the worst.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Couldn't make it out of the first ground. Should have listened. They told him you got to have the high ground. They tried. Yeah.
I've got the high ground, bro. And even though you have superpowers that allows you to jump, I still have the high ground.
We tried to tell him.
Jason Lane says Lucifer is one of the uglier people on the CW.
which is bananas because he's so attractive.
It just shows you like the level of hotness of CW.
Yeah.
All right, Derek. Well, I know you were in the room where it happened, so go ahead and give it to us.
Surprise, surprise. Of course, this should shock no one that I picked Hamilton on Disney Plus. As many of you know, I'm a huge fan. I love the musical. I've seen it live. I've done a number of sing-alongs with a bunch of other people. I've done tons of stuff when it comes to this show. It's one of my favorite Broadway musicals. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to try to sit here and sell you on the hype and tell you that if you're breathing, you have to watch it, and if you don't, you're a horrible person. I know that the Hamilton hype train is high. And I know that there's a lot of people that are like, well, now I don't want to, because that's what we do. But what I will tell you from a perspective of a fan, I was actually kind of nervous about what they were going to do. So a couple things that I think they do really, really well is instead of converting the stage production into a film with things like Chicago, Les Miserables, all of that, it's actually literally just the Broadway show. So they just filmed one of the actual Broadway shows, but they filmed it with a kind of like a filmography in mind. And they really capture the scope of how it actually operates on stage. Because one of the really cool things about Hamilton and the way that it works on stage is the set moves and there's a lot of really cool lighting tricks that they do. And the film captures a lot of that, which I think is really great. If you're gonna just give somebody a filmed Broadway production, You want to kind of capture the things that make it interesting to see it live on stage. So they do that. So that's the one thing that they do really well. And it translates really, really well to an actual streaming thing. And then the other thing they do really well is you actually get to see a lot of the facial expressions that you, even if you saw Hamilton live and you've memorized all the music, you don't ever really get to see the actual face of what they're like. You know, they're a good actor, but if you're sitting in the nosebleeds, you have no fucking idea what their faces are doing. So one of the things that this film does is it really kind of taps into that and really captures like what these people are trying to convey as they're singing. What they're like, there's one moment where King George comes out and he's doing his first little thing, and you actually see like the spit come out of his mouth. And it's great because he's just this crazy over the top character. But to be able to actually see that and experience that, I think even if you're trying to avoid the hype train, you still just want to check it out. Those are things that I think it does really, really well. So I would say even regardless of all the things that surround Hamilton, its actual film production of how they capture the stage is fantastic. I forget everything I feel about the musical. Just those two things in general, I think are done really, really well. And I think they play to the strength. And then obviously, if you love it, the music is all there. And if you're never going to fly to New York and see it again or see it on Broadway, this is your chance. This is your chance to actually experience it.
Sometimes that's the best way to do it, because there are some very big musicals that I enjoy that have been made into Hollywood films and they were awful. Phantom of the Opera. But I've also seen a version of Jesus Christ Superstar from like 2000s-ish or whatever that was done just like the Hamilton thing, where it was just a Broadway version of it, a staged version of it. I think it was from London, but it was filmed on the stage like they would do it for an audience. But same thing, you're getting the quality of that performance, and also you're getting to see the actors up close and stuff. So yeah, I think it's a really good way to capture it.
Yeah, and and like I said, the people who knew in advance that this is what they were going to use it for, the editors and the cinematographers, they're also the same people that had a hand in the stage production, and so they were very purposeful in how they do it. So I would say if you're just a fan of Broadway musicals and you haven't had the chance to check it out and you've been avoiding the hype train, but now you get a chance to see it in the comfort of your own home, I would absolutely check out Hamilton. I would also say that if you're a huge fan of it, even if you've seen it live, even if you've done all the things that I've done as well, I would still say to check it out too, because it's really, really good. So I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. To me, it's perfect. I love it. That's probably the fan speaking in me, but I think all the compliments that I've given it for just existing on its own, I think it's good.
I was half expecting you to be like, out of 5, I give it a 6.
I told you I was going to taper it down.
I thought it was fun, man. Me, Ariel, and I watched it. We got these sweet massage chairs for our new room, so we were sitting in the massage chairs while watching it, and I gotta be, it was glorious. Like, my back was relaxing while I was also enjoying the dancing and a little bit of learning. I know that the history isn't perfect in it, but at the same time, I feel like it was there were a few things I didn't know, so then I went and looked them up, which I think something like this is important in that way, because even if it's not 100% perfect in the history, the historical moments or whatever, it gets people to think about those moments and start looking into them. And that's the key for a lot of stuff like this, is just to get people interested in the history of our country and how it is abusive, but also really interesting at the same time.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ron. Rap was very big back in the 1700s.
You're right.
I don't know why we don't do cabinet battles as rap battles anymore. That's when I say the good old days, those are the things I really miss. Just a straight roast battle. Yeah. That's the ciphers.
Presidential debates should just be.
That was actually my favorite.
That would be amazing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that would be amazing. The rap battle stuff between Thomas Jefferson and Hamilton is great. It's so good. Both of them are great.
It's pretty great.
So, it's awesome. So,
Dan Morin says Hamilton was dope. He never got a chance to see it live. Jason Lane says Hamilton is the longest episode of Schoolhouse Rock I've ever seen in my entire life.
Was it Jason? Jason Lane also said, still waiting for that death metal opera about Christopher.
That would actually be perfect. It would just be all fucked up. It'd be like it'd be like some of those. It'd be like, you know, like Rocky Horror style.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a bunch of weird raping and pillaging, and you're like, oh, history was way too polite to this guy.
And then Dan Morham says Mike should do a brief history entirely in rap songs.
Oh.
No, I don't have the ability, unless it's Vanilla Ice. I don't have the ability to rap as a normal person, like, let alone in a British accent. I don't know. Maybe
I would love to.
I want to see. I want to see that. Yeah, Mike, please.
Get into Mike.
Yeah, please bust out those hot bars, Mike.
But, like, speaking of Hamilton and brief history of the past, the first two episodes out of the three-part actually might turn into a four-part because the last 15 presidents have had just so much information packed in. But I've had two episodes that just came out at the end of June and beginning of July for the presidents of the United States, and there's some information in there. Good Lord. I learned a lot of things that I didn't want to, but it's fun. I try to poke fun and teach history at the same time. So check it out on our YouTube channel. Awesome. So let's move on, shall we, to some current events?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah,
all right.
There's not many.
There's not, and we probably should speed through them. But first and foremost, the Boys season two. The trailer came out, and what'd y'all think?
Oh my God! I absolutely loved that first season, and the teaser for season two at the end already. I was like, why is this ending? Why can you please just give me the second season right this second? But yeah, dude, that I'm ready for Homelander to haunt my dreams again. I bring it. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to address this. Jason Lee says, what do you mean by a normal person? I meant a non-British person is what I meant. It's apparently Brits are freaks and everyone else is normal. That's what I meant by that.
I mean, that is obvious.
That checks out. I've been there. I can attest to it. I can tell you, but that's categorically true.
The freaky deaky.
Pat says, what's the milestone needed for that brief history rap? Oh boy. Look, if I do an episode on the history of rap, maybe of rap music, maybe
4,000 subscribers. Yeah. 4,000 subscribers. Get 4,000 subscribers. Mike will rap.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
Guys, I'll help him write it. I don't give a shit. I'll do it.
The Boys. So, Ron.
Yeah,
The Boys looks amazing. There's going to be killing. There's going to be brutalizing. There's going to be badass making fun of what heroes might actually be if they were there. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, when I read Superman and Batman, Spider-Man, I don't actually want to see a realistic version of those characters. I don't care about that. But I do love that the tack that they took on this was, what would people be like if they were literally invincible? How much power would they want to take? Like, how secret would they keep it? Like, how would they handle all that stuff? So that stuff to me is totally interesting.
It's a further social commentary on, if we had those people, you can bet your ass that fucking Jeff Bezos would own them. Like,
mm-hmm.
You can't tell me he's not going to be out there buying fucking superheroes to deliver his Amazon shit. Of course he would.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's to deliver whatever kind of justice he wants, too.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the show is? It's an Amazon show. That
That's hilarious.
But it does. Jeff, it looks good. Jeff. It looks like they took everything from season one and actually, like, dialed it up a notch.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't see a lot because it's a teaser trailer, not a full trailer. But, I mean, what they did show looks, yeah, the violence looks like it's going to be there. There was a couple of quick cutaways from look like a dude's head getting crushed in and some other fun stuff. So I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah. I just love the grittiness of the Boys. And I think I said this off air, but I could watch Carl Urban have this much fun all day long. Like,
yeah,
it's funny because I always forget every time he pops up in something, I always forget that the man has been around forever. Like, he showed up in a Xena episode the other day, and I was like,
dude, he played multiple characters on there.
It's crazy that he's been around for that long. But I just watching him, I clearly have the time of his life as this character. I could watch it all day, and I can't wait for more episodes with him in it.
Yeah. And Dan Morehame says, it looks like we could be getting more black noir this time around, which is, if you're familiar with the comic, is very exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. The character was blink and you miss him in the first season. So
yeah, right.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. So there was an announcement with, you know, Batwoman on the CW, the, you know, Ruby Rose was out, and the person that is now in, I don't know who she is, but her name is Javisha Leslie, and she's apparently from a show or movie called God Friended Me. I'm also not familiar with that property. Thoughts?
Sure. I the thing is, I don't.
It's hard to say when you don't know anything about her.
Yeah, I don't know anything about her, and I don't really even watch the show. I've seen like a few episodes of it, but that's just by happenstance, like just by default, because my girlfriend watches it. But it's one of those shows that I'm so over the CW shows that even if it was the best one of them, I still probably wouldn't care. I don't know. But look, if they were able to find the actress and they think she's going to do a great job, she can't possibly have as much hatred as Ruby Rose does. So yeah. I think we might be okay.
I know we don't avoid political stuff for the most part, but I got to say, I love whenever fanboys' heads explode about a thing, and that's happening right now. I feel like this is my version of owning the libs. Is it owning the alt-right? I don't know what it is, but it feels great, and I hope she's amazing. I hope the show turns out like phenomenal, and they're forced to love Batwoman. That's what I hope. I hope it turns out that good.
There was some speculation early on about whether they were going to be replacing the character with another actress playing the same character, or whether they were going to be, it was going to be a different character altogether. There was some speculation on that. It's pretty clear now that it's going to be an all new character.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sounds fun. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. I guess staying on the bat train. Does he have a bat train? He's got.
He should. Got
a bat train. He probably does.
He has.
Let's look it up.
He has to.
Let's look it up. Bat train.
But apparently,
there's an image for a bat train. Absolutely.
Of course there is.
I feel like that. I feel like don't go Googling bat train, because I feel like you're just going to see a porno. A bunch of people dressed in a bat costume. Don't do that. Don't do that.
The first thing is just this amazing picture of a comic where Batman and Robin are in a train with the bat cow on the front. It's hilarious.
There it is.
Park, they keep there that at is. The bat train station, I guess. I don't know. anyway.
Wait, train tracks, Batman.
HBO Max is going to be apparently getting a Batman spin-off show based on the upcoming Robert Pattinson Batman movie called Gotham PD.
Oh, what? I haven't heard this.
Is it about Batman then, or what? Here's the thing. If it's going to feature the Robert Pattinson Batman character in the show, I'm fine. That's fine. That's fine. Because that was our big gripe, Derek and I, about Gotham, was that we're like, look, if you want to make it a police procedural, just call it Gotham PD. We even said that back then. But now, like, I'm fine with that if you're going to still feature Batman in the show. I mean, I'd rather it just be about Batman and Gotham PD or background characters. But if you got to go that way, as long as we're going to have adult Batman and adult villains in Gotham doing their thing, I'm okay with that. I mean, it's HBO Max, so I'm sure it's going to be hyper violent. But
yeah.
Thoughts?
And guys, you know how much I love Batman. I don't want this. I just don't want this. I don't know. We already tried.
Someone put in the comments that, but Batman will not appear is my understanding of it. So that's even worse.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, that's, look, it would be different if you were doing NCIS Gotham PD and then it was just airing on TBS from.
That could be hilarious. Actually, if you did it as a comedy, that would be hilarious. These guys having to deal with the Joker and all of this other crazy ass shit. And
Bones got them? Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on.
It appears that this guy was killed with an umbrella that had gas come out of it.
They actually tried that already, guys. But it wasn't a police show, but there was a comedy series that ran for like one season on network television.
Yeah.
It was set in the DC universe.
That's right. Cause wasn't it about the people that made the gadgets?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Cause I remember
they worked for Wayne.
That's right. That's because Ron Funches was on that show. That's right.
That sounds interesting. It didn't, was it not good?
It was okay. There were funny episodes for sure, but yeah, it could have been better, I guess. But yeah, it didn't last. So,
Timothy Beckett says, "I'm ready for HBO Lovecraft Country." Yes, I agree. I know that has nothing to do with the new Batman show announced, but I'm with you on that one, Timothy. But yeah, I just okay.
I'm not getting HBO Max though. No. I can't. I literally can't afford anymore.
I'm not either. And honestly, I probably have it, and I just have never signed into it, and I'm still not going to. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The more I'm learning about this now, the less excited I am about it. Like, I think a Batman TV show would be good. Like, that's. I feel like the CW, if they could get the rights for Batman, would be a great addition to their Arrowverse.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously they've gone the Batwoman route, which is great. That's perfectly fine too. Right. But I feel like a Batman TV show could be good in the right place. And I feel like HBO is the right place for that.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. But so get your shit.
That is a lot of confidence in a movie that hasn't even finished production. Like,
yeah.
Come on, dude. that's the kind of shit. And it just irritates me because that's the kind of stuff that DC does, where they just are constantly trying to like jump ahead and try to stay ahead of the gun. And it never works out. Like, I don't know. To me, that is just such a massive investment for a movie we literally know nothing about.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, when Gotham first came out, it was like, somebody somewhere was like, "Hey, you guys know what you love about Batman?" And you're like, "What? Batman is a kid." And you're like, "No, that is not. No. You know." And this
get George Lucas out of here.
And this feels like the same thing. This feels like, you know what you love about Batman? Gotham. What? You know, the Gotham Police Force. Yeah, those guys.
That's one that you like. I like Gotham itself.
You know that superhero city that's literally interchangeable with every other DC superhero city?
I think Gotham's a little more dangerous than every other city.
Compared to Star City, I guess it's a little less less grueling. Yeah.
And like as far as like Metropolis, I feel like the Gotham is like the dark universe version of Metropolis, like one run down, crime filled. So, all right. Well, I think that's about enough on that. It is time to get to our main event, everybody. Woo. So just to recap, we put out one of those posts that was like, one of these actors has to go. And it was a toss up between Tom Cruise, Keanu Reeves, Will Smith, and Johnny Depp. And unanimously across everywhere we posted it, Tom Cruise was the one that was picked.
I'm going to tell you guys, I was legitimately shocked at how big of a landslide this was. Like, I wasn't surprised that Tom Cruise ended up being the one that everybody voted. But just, I think on the post that I put, I had over 100 comments, and maybe 3 of them were somebody else. Everybody was like, this is easy, Tom Cruise. And I was like, what?
Yeah, it was... crazy. Like the second runner up was Johnny Depp, but even then it was only like 5-6 votes.
Yeah.
And then the other, like, I think nobody voted for Will Smith, maybe one. And then Keanu, I think, only got like a couple of votes as well. But yeah, like everybody was like, get Tom out of there. So he's out. He's never existed. He stayed a shoe salesman in Buffalo, whatever he did before. He never became Tom Cruise. He stayed Thomas Cruise Mopather the Fourth. That's his birth name.
No Scientology, no Dianetics.
Yeah.
But he did marry some hot chick because he's...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So he never existed, but all his film projects still happen. And it is our job to fill in whoever, like other people that were around at the time, to who would have played his most famous roles and how we feel like that would have changed the movies.
Yeah.
We're not going to do all his movies. I mean, he actually doesn't have as many as I thought he did in his thing, but there's still way too many to do them all. So we're going to do like the big hits.
Okay.
We'll do like things like Risky Business, Top Gun, obviously. We can do Rain Man, I guess, Days of Thunder, A Few Good Men, Interview with the Vampire.
Oh, nice. Oh,
that's a fun one.
We'll do Especially. Mission Impossible, Jerry Maguire. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All the big ones.
Yep. I got a hot one for Jerry Maguire, guys.
Now, is there a rule that you can't take the actors that we've just talked about and put them in those roles?
No, because they would have, hands down, they're all around the same age, especially like Johnny Depp is in his 50s. So
yeah.
He would have...
So Johnny Depp and everything. Show's over, guys.
He would have been right at the time. I don't think he would have been right for those roles. Although, Lestat...
Yeah.
Are we doing this in order or can we just jump to interview?
Let's do it in order.
All right.
Okay.
All right, so let's start with Risky Business from 1983, a movie that I have seen, but know nothing about who was alive at the time because I was two at the time.
I was being bored, so...
I was older than you guys.
But and obviously, if you guys have thoughts, drop them in the chat. Let us know your thoughts as to who.
Yeah, let us know. So we're basically recasting Risky Business right now. So you're taking out Tom Cruise and you're putting somebody else in from that time.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with the movie, he plays a high school student who gets involved with a hooker, and some stuff happens and some things get broken at his house that he's got to. I mean, he starts. Doesn't he become kind of a pimp for a little bit?
Like, kind of. That's like, yes.
Not like intentional, I don't think.
It's
a result of trying to replace the crystal thing that got broken.
Yeah.
At some point.
Yeah. I've got a good pick, I think.
Okay.
Rob Lowe. I think he would have been young enough at that time.
I think I
think he would have been okay there. Well, you know who else I would give it to? And he might be a little too rough around the edges, but I think he might actually fit the bill a little bit, would be Judd Nelson.
Ah!
I can see that. Timothy Beckett said Michael J. Fox, which I think is actually...
Oh, that's a great pick.
That's
a great pick. And actually, if we're going to go down that road, just interchange it with Michael Stoltz and whoever's available, we're good.
Yeah.
I just want to double check.
Or Eric Stoltz. I'm sorry. Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz, yeah.
Yeah, and Michael J. Fox is actually a year older than Tom Cruise. So
shit.
He would have that would have worked out beautifully. And he has that – for that role especially, you needed the charm, the charisma, and I think he could have done it.
Yeah, I would say Michael J. Fox is a great one. I would say, again, Eric Stoltz I think would be a great pick for that.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, Eric Stoltz would be awesome.
You do need kind of that boyish charm for that, especially like a lot of Tom Cruise's early roles. When you think of like Cocktail, Early Business, or Risky Business, anything before he started getting into like that action stuff, a lot of those roles are very Michael J. Fox, Eric Stoltz kind of charmy type of roles.
Yeah, I mean, any of the Brat Pack could have probably filled in.
Emilio's
too serious. I don't.
You guys, I'm looking at a picture of 1983 Rob Lowe, and I'm telling you, it's pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
I could see Rob Lowe as well.
I could see him. I could see him do it.
So, but again, there's a number of like Charlie Sheen, I think.
Yeah.
Filled that role nicely.
Yeah. Guys, we gotta save some of these guys for Top Gun.
Like, maybe his life would have taken a different path. I don't know.
We can't burn through all our actors before we get to Top Gun.
Dan Morham said Matthew Broderick. He said, I do get some Ferris Bueller from this movie. So, yeah.
Ooh, well done, Dan.
We're just taking John Hughes cast members and plugging them into this movie. Yeah, Gary
Horst. Honestly, look, if you were to delete Tom Cruise from all of those early films, that's going to be the pool of kids that you pick from. Like, those were the people that dominated that era of film, and they all have that same kind of acting ability and charm. And so, yeah, you're absolutely going to steal from John Hughes cast, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are great picks. I think we've got it sorted.
Yeah.
We don't have to be definitive. We're not, this isn't where like we're arguing our points and picking one that is absolutely, we're just like, saying
yeah.
who we yeah. think would have filled the bill.
Yeah. So, and a lot of these names are going to come back up. Just
yeah, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, they're all around the same age as him. So yeah. the only thing we should think about is whether they were relevant at the time we are trying to cast them.
Yeah,
because right. that does mean that if they had fallen out of the limelight, like Emilio disappeared and became a director
right.
years ago. And so anything that's more recent, we're not going to be like, you know, War of the Worlds. Emilio, we're not but yeah, so let's keep that in mind as well. All right, so let's go ahead and move on to Top Gun.
Oh yeah.
From 1986.
So you got one?
I got a weird one.
Okay.
But I don't know who, so here's my thought. I feel like Tom and Val in that movie are perfect, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like if you didn't have Tom, I feel like Val might have been cast as Maverick. Yes. I think someone may have said that in the chat as well.
Yeah.
But then who plays Iceman if Val Kilmer's not Iceman?
And that's tough. But that I was gonna go down that road too, because those two can be interchangeable. Like they're so good together that you could almost just swap them. But then we have to recast Iceman, and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of like good young actors that are in the movie that play the other pilots and maybe one of them, but I mean, none of them are like big names.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Val Kilmer and Tom Cruise were big names at the time, but they were at least established. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Gary Horton says, Kiefer Sutherland.
Interesting.
As Maverick.
As Maverick.
Okay.
Yeah. But, that if you can't do him as Maverick and you need somebody to play Iceman, he'd be perfect for Iceman. So if you put Val Kilmer as Maverick and then you put Kiefer Sutherland as Iceman, that's a pretty good pairing. I could get on board with that. I could be on board with that. And actually, you know what? You know what? You could I can't even believe I'm gonna say this. But I actually think Jason Patrick would do well as Maverick. He's got the same kind of look, and I think especially at that time, he was really starting to kind of come into his own and break out. He kind of looks like Tom Cruise. So, yeah, I think Jason Patrick would be good.
I got two weird ones.
just to get the chat real quick, Gary Horton says, Kevin Bacon, that's also a solid choice. I think Timothy Beckett said they would both be Val, twin brothers.
That's awesome.
Be completely, and I'm on. Sorry. I'm on board. I'm on
well,
board.
Then it's I then it. I changed my pick to DeVito.
DeVito. Kevin Bacon, though. Kevin Bacon's a good pick.
Yeah. I was thinking, roll with me on this one, maybe Lou Diamond Phillips. I think he was like just starting to come into his own in that period of time. And it'd be interesting to see him star in something. I think he would nail something like that.
So I don't have an issue with that, Ron, but I feel like Hollywood at the time would not have made that choice.
Yeah,
you know that.
We're talking, when was Top Gun was what, 86?
86.
86. Yeah. That there was no like diversity. It was like,
and Young Guns,
if you were Hispanic, you were only in Hispanic movies.
Yeah. But and Young Guns was 88. And and even then, like Lou Diamond was still just part of an ensemble. Like that was an Emilio Estevez movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and is this one too ridiculous? Mel Gibson?
Was he?
Yeah, he was popular in 86.
I know he was, but how far of an age? Because they're not the same age. He's definitely older, right?
I think they're very close. Let's see.
But, I mean, their closeness in age doesn't really matter. What matters is like when
he's older.
He started to get big.
Yeah.
If he'd been big over here at the time, that's what kind of matters in that regard. Because Mad Max, the original Mad Max was 79.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So,
Mad Max 2 was 81. So, and Beyond Thunderdome, Thunderdome was 85, which means he probably was a household name somewhat out here. When did he do Lethal Weapon?
That was in the
87.
He did Lethal Weapon in 87.
Too old, but I think Mel just looks too old. I think some of the other names that we've given have a little bit more of that, like, again, that boyish charm that you're kind of looking for in a lot of those roles. I think Mel is a little too rugged, I feel like.
I don't think Mel would have been willing to shave the hair back then.
Yeah. he had the mane going on back there.
It was feathered and lethal.
Well, those were my two weird ones.
Gotta be the hair, Cotton.
I think we've had some good ones. Jason Lee said Adrian Pastar, who is in the movie.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, I just don't know that he was big enough. I mean, he's still not a big enough name, to helm that film, but yeah.
There's some great names in this chat though, guys. You guys are doing great.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Next up. Oh, I just saw a movie in his thing that I didn't even think about. That's going to be fun. Okay. Moving on. Next big film. Did we want to do, do we want to do Rain Man? Because I feel like Rain Man is, I think anybody could have played.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
Rain Man.
Yeah.
It's Dustin Hoffman that makes Rain Man what Rain Man is.
Yeah.
So. There's a couple movies, like when you look at movies like The Firm, those are movies that, like, they're not, yes, they're part of Tom Cruise, but they're not, like.
Honestly, that's what, when everyone picked Tom Cruise, I was like, this is kind of boring, guys, because I feel like anybody could play a lot of the parts that he plays.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think, like, I love Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
But that could be anybody. Yeah. That could be Val Kilmer. Like, and it wouldn't make any fucking difference to me.
Right. Yeah.
I think, however, Mission Impossible, well, we'll get to that.
All right. Well, let's do an Interview with the Vampire then, because that is a role that I feel like Tom Cruise stepped out of, like, everything he'd ever done before and gave us something truly unique and made that character what it is.
Yeah. I know we said it before, guys, but I'm going Johnny Depp for this one. That would literally be like a precursor to Jack Sparrow. And I think Johnny Depp was big enough, but young enough to kind of fit into that role. And I think he would kind of start to take some risks there. And I think he'd do well. I really do.
Yeah, because that was 1994.
Okay.
And where was Depp at in 1994?
Oh, I've got the best pick for this one. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
He'd already done. Yeah.
I just want to see Lestat scissor kick. That's all I want to see, guys. Just Lestat doing a
Keanu Reeves
360 scissor kick.
You know what, Ron? I can't agree with you on there, but I would pay money to watch Jean-Claude Van Damme doing all of Lestat's lines in a movie. Yes, I would.
I mean, guys, if we're going there, it's Kevin Costner. Let's just do it. Let's just ruin Interview with the Vampire.
Kevin Costner's the worst choice ever.
I know.
Kevin Costner. There's
two films back to back where he is supposed to have a British accent, but doesn't.
Well, so Depp had done Edward Scissorhands in 1990 and Benny and June in 93.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, he was established enough at least to have, like, that quirky, like, he likes weird roles.
Yeah.
You know, the goth element to him. So I feel like he probably could have played it and done a fine job with it.
I think he would have killed it.
The hardest part about it is, and this is where things get real challenging, though.
Gary Horton said Keanu Reeves.
Oh, yeah. he followed it up with Josh Brolin, which... I think Josh Brolin would do fine. For me, the hardest part about Interview with the Vampire is, like you said, this is a movie where Tom Cruise I'm not thinking about recasting the role so that we get a different Lestat. I'm thinking about somebody who can do Tom Cruise's Lestat, because that's the Lestat that I have in my mind. I can't separate it. Like, You know what I mean? Like, that's such a hard role to recast, because I don't think anybody was expecting him to do something like that. But that's why for me, Johnny Depp, he's the closest person that I can think of that would still give me the, there's life in the old lady. Yet. Like,
Jason Lane said, the guy who played the Dread Pirate Roberts, so Cary Elwes.
Cary Elwes. Yeah. You know what? Cary Elwes would be great.
Might have been actually up for that part. I feel like there's a rumor that he was up for that part.
I could see it. He would be solid for that.
What's weird is that he started off playing the sweetest, most heroic character in the history of film, right? And then he played like a funny version of Robin Hood. And then there was like a string of movies where he was just the asshole bad guy, including Days of Thunder.
That's right.
He was the, I don't even remember the racer's name. All the racers had stupid fucking names in that movie. Yeah. Cole Trickle was Tom Cruise. Rowdy Burns, I think, was Michael Rooker's character. But yeah, he played the asshole race car driver that was his big enemy. So him playing a kind of villainous vampire, I think he
could absolutely do it. I think that's a great pick, actually.
Davina said, has anyone mentioned Legend? I don't think we're recasting Legend.
No.
But if we were, Brad Pitt.
Legend is a hot piece of shit. I don't care. Like, I love the people that are in it, and I love aspects of the movie, but those aspects don't come together to make a whole movie for me.
Yeah.
It was mind-numbingly painful to get through.
Jason Lane says, Billy Zane, mother... And then he blanked himself out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad choice.
It's not. I don't know that he's... I don't know that he's big enough, though. Like, Billy Zane is one of those guys that I love when he shows up and stuff, but I don't know that I would ever want Billy Zane to carry a film. I like him much better as, like, a character actor than I do as, like, a headliner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I'm having a hard time thinking. I think Cary Elwes is probably the best.
That's a really solid pick.
That's
a really solid pick.
Mainly because I just would be curious to see how he would handle it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because maybe he wouldn't be as over the top, but he still brings that charm. But then he's also got like just enough of that devil in him to kind of make you be like, I like this guy, but he's a dick. Like I feel like that's something that Cary Elwes later in his career did really, really well. And I think coming off something like Princess Bride and then being thrust into this, I think it would be like this huge gear shift. And then people would be like, yeah, I want to see this. I want to see what he does with it.
I'm going to throw some names out right now just for us to like have in our brains and start kicking around, because we're getting into the point where these people are starting to become relevant. So all these people are in their 50s.
Okay.
And that's so George Clooney, Brad Pitt, obviously Brad Pitt is already in Interview with the Vampire, but Robert Downey Jr., Johnny Depp, Sean Penn, Russell Crowe, Ralph Fiennes, Woody Harrelson, Edward Norton, Forrest Whitaker.
Jeremy Irons is a lot older than them, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Lawrence Fishburne, Nicolas Cage.
So, oh my God. So
Nicolas Cage, Interview with the Vampire. Done.
Forget everything else we just said. Brad Pitt, Nicolas Cage, Interview with the Vampire. For the love of God, somebody make this film.
All I can picture is him from, what was it? Vampire's Kiss? Is that the name of the movie he did? That's awful.
Is that what it is, right? It's Vampire's Kiss?
I think that's what, whether he's got the fake teeth and he's the crazy eyes. Oh, wow.
I need this. I need this movie to happen now, guys.
I both want to see it and don't want to see it at the same time. Well, so anyway, those are just some names to keep in mind as we move forward. All right. I think we're actually approaching... Mission Impossible came out 2 years after.
Okay, are we doing because wasn't it? Didn't he do Mission Impossible and Jerry Maguire in the same year?
Yes,
okay.
He did.
Okay,
yeah. So we'll tackle both of those. And here's the thing we need to talk about right now, right out the gate, is that while there are a bunch of Mission Impossible movies, whoever we cast, we're not trying to cast someone that's going to be Tom Cruise. So we're not trying to pick an actor who eventually would think they're invincible and want to do all their own stunts. Right. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what we're picking. So in keeping that in mind, we also have to think about, would Mission Impossible even have gone on to become the big powerhouse that it is? Because whoever would have played it in the first movie probably wouldn't be like, I'm going to become an executive producer and, you know, all this other stuff. So I think it would definitely change the landscape of that movie franchise for sure. Yeah. That being said, Ethan Hunt, who plays Ethan Hunt in the original Mission Impossible from 1996?
Emilio Estevez.
Emilio! Pretty sure Emilio was done in front of the camera by this point.
He might have been a little too young for this.
Yeah, but I mean, he was uncredited.
That's true.
In the movie.
I remember when I saw it, and I was like, oh shit, that's Emilio. Oh, he's dead. Like, it was
That was the thing. Like, I was looking for his name in the credits, and it was like, he didn't show up, and I'm like, no, but that was Emilio, right?
I'm going to go Brad Pitt, actually.
I think that's a solid pick.
Was Brad Pitt doing action at that point?
Yes.
I don't think he was.
96, probably.
Because I feel like Brad, let's see. Because 12 Monkeys.
He did 7 in 99 and 95.
Yeah, I mean, that's not.
That's not on him. Like,
Fight Club 99.
Yeah, I feel like Brad Pitt was still very much doing drama stuff. Like, he didn't start doing things like Mr. and Mrs. Smith until like later in his career when he started picking up the gun and fighting. Like, that wasn't, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, Seven is different from a lot of the stuff that you would associate him with before that. And maybe he wanted to step outside of that and do something else. You know what I mean? I mean, he did 12 Monkeys and 7 in the same year. Interview with the Vampire before that.
This is another guy that was not doing action at the time, but probably would have been great for it, is Matt Damon.
Yeah, Matt Damon hasn't done the action thing yet either.
Yeah. Well, when was Good Will Hunting?
That was 97.
We got some in the chat. We got Dan Moorham said Will Smith. Gary Horton said Michael Biehn. Dude. I mean, I think he wasn't doing as much stuff by the 90s, but hell yeah.
He'd be good. I'd watch him in Mission Impossible.
Timothy Beckett says Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. I really like Ethan Hawke. I think he'd be great.
And then Gary.
Wait, you guys. I've got the best one. Mark Wahlberg.
Fuck you.
I just want to jump on this plane. Hey, you guys, you're part of my team.
Hey, has anybody seen Emilio? He was supposed to be in the elevator.
The thing about the first Mission Impossible is that, yes, there is action in the movie, but it is not an action movie.
It's a spy thriller. It's 100% a spy thriller. And actually, so going back to the suggestion, I actually think Ethan Hawke would be a perfect fit specifically for that first Mission Impossible. And like you said, Mike, I don't know that we would have the franchise that we have now. So honestly, if Ethan Hawke had done it and they went to make Mission Impossible 2, they probably would have just recast Ethan Hunt. Even if Mission Impossible did really well, Ethan Hunt would have come in, done the spy thriller, and then they would have been like, hey guys, let's make it into an action series. And he probably would have exited the franchise. So him in that first movie, I think he would be absolutely perfect. I think that's a great casting.
Yeah, they would have continued on, because the first movie did make money. They would have either continued on and we would have been introduced to a new agent.
Right.
Or they would have done the James Bond thing and just changed the actor.
Yeah, and Ethan Hunt just becomes the moniker.
Gary Horton did also suggest Robert Downey Jr., which, you know, I think he's got now, especially when you think of Robert Downey now, he's got the kind of charm to pull it off. But, I mean, he would have done that, and then he would have gone on a coke bender, and then...
Then they wouldn't have been able to find him.
He wouldn't have been available for the next movie.
People forget that guy was damn near uninsurable. He was amazing, and people still put him in shit, but they couldn't insure that guy for shit.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's move on to Jerry Maguire.
Yeah. All right, guys. All right, hear me out. Hear me out.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hear me out. Okay. It's going to seem weird, but I was thinking as a fast-talking sports agent that has a change of heart, and all I could think of was now I just lost his name.
Well, look, I've got a very – I'm looking at the most pop – you got it?
No, hold on. I don't know why I just lost his name, but
– Well, think about it, because I'm looking at the highest grossing stars of 1996, trying to think of who jumps out at me. And you guys, there's someone who's the highest grossing star that I think is perfect, and that is Steven Seagal.
I hate you so much. You're the worst person. No, I got it. I don't know why his name just escaped me, because I've had it in my head since – we started talking about this, but Vince Vaughn.
Oh.
Vince Vaughn for Jerry Maguire. Now, we're not talking fat old Vince Vaughn.
Yeah, this is 1996.
We're talking 96 swingers version Vince Vaughn, where he's young and dashing. He's still got that fast talking kind of thing. Vince Vaughn, absolutely, dude. I think he'd be perfect in Jerry Maguire.
I'm really struggling to see that.
I've got an older pick that I think would actually make even more sense in a way, because wouldn't you think that we would have to have some age of like screwing people over before you actually wanted to make a change? And that's Robert De Niro.
Wouldn't he be too old?
I don't know. He might not be too old.
No, he's older than them.
Yeah.
But by a lot, but
yeah, but I can't see Robert Downey Jr. I can't see Robert De Niro. Show me the fucking money. Can't see it.
I guess. Fine.
What about Matthew McConaughey?
I can see Matthew McConaughey. That's another good one.
Because at that time he was rising.
I'm trying to think of how he would say that now.
All right.
All right. Show me the money.
I think of people who would do well in playing like a sports agent. Like, forget the classic line. Like, the classic lines, I think, are now we're just thinking of what Tom Cruise would do and who would do their best Tom Cruise impression, which is why I lean towards somebody like Vince Vaughn, because I think he would fit very well, especially coming off something like Swingers. He's got the young look. He's got the swagger. He seems like the kind of guy who would start the movie screwing people over and then kind of having a change of heart. But I also think who did we just say
McConaughey?
I think McConaughey would be perfect for that too. Yeah. I think he would fit that role really well.
That's why I pictured him, because I could see him being this kind of, you know, a money grubbing, you know, agent who you know, does the rom com thing, even though his rom coms have not
performed. I got one slightly out of the box.
Yeah.
Also might be a little too old, but I'm not sure. Michael Keaton?
I don't want to say he can't do it, because the man can do anything, but I don't know if I'm sold on it yet. I don't know if I'm sold on Michael Keaton yet.
He did Multiplicity, by the way.
Let me consult the chat. So we've got some good ones in here. Dan Morham says, I said it before and I'll say it again. I would pay money in the world to see Nicolas Cage scream, "Show me the money."
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. If they remade Jerry Maguire and cast Nicolas Cage, I'd sold.
It wouldn't be joyous. You know what I mean? It wouldn't be the way that little banter that he's having with Cuba Gooding Jr. It wouldn't be that way. It would be Nicolas Cage angry shouting the way that only he can do.
Help me help you.
Jason Lane said Ben Stiller. Gary Horton said Jason Bateman, which I actually thought would be a good pick as well.
Yeah.
He also suggested Woody Harrelson.
Oh, interesting.
I like Woody Harrelson. I like Woody. My only issue with some of these names, so somebody like Ben Stiller, and I'm not saying he can't do this, but I'm saying in the time that he was, I don't know that he would be able to, because Jerry Maguire starts off kind of ridiculous and then gets serious as far as the character himself. And I don't know that Ben Stiller really had that capability at that time. Now, I'm not saying he can't, I'm not saying he can't, but I'm saying at the time, I feel like he was either over the top or he was like deadpan serious. He never like combined them both into one movie.
Yeah, he was still rather odd back then.
Yes.
In the roles. He was a character actor. You wouldn't necessarily think him as the straight romantic interest for this kind of film.
Right.
Okay, let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
The Last Samurai.
Any white dude ever. Sold.
Nobody.
I disagree with that statement because
aside from
the actual sword combat and choreography in that film, which was stunning.
Yeah,
the acting in that film. I mean,
it's great.
It was good. With
Ken Watanabe, like that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm one of those people. Like, I love when people make fun of The Last Samurai, but I fucking love that movie. Like, I genuinely enjoy that movie. Guys,
well,
I'm gonna pull the trigger. I'm doing it. Keanu Reeves. Done.
Fine.
I've been keeping him in my back pocket for a minute.
I said there was acting in the movie. We all saw
it. Stand by it, Mike. I stand by it.
I mean, you're wrong, but that's fine. Die on that hill.
Die on that hill. How about we do something crazy? Wait, okay. What is the story of The Last Samurai? Can you remind me?
Well, it's about The Last Samurai.
Which is a white guy, right?
Yes, he is the last samurai. Yes,
but no. There's a little bit more to it than that.
It's dealing with historical events that happened in Japan, but it was when the actual samurai caste, when Japan started to like industrialize and the samurai were being pushed to the back. Like Japan was trying to become more American, more British, you know what I mean? Like that was their thing. And so it's this war between the samurai and the government at the time. And Tom Cruise's character is a former soldier, I think participated in the Civil War. Who gets sent over to help train these Japanese soldiers to fight the samurai. And he gets captured and injured and stuff, battling the samurai. And then he learns about them and becomes, I mean, I'm not going to call him a samurai, but he kind of does. And he fights with them and they all die and he lives. That's, you know.
Like it would turn out.
Yes. He's the savior of Japan, guys.
Yeah. But
so I do have an interesting, because in 2003, he would have to do it the same year that he did, I believe, the first X-Men. But Hugh Jackman.
Okay.
I just don't think he was doing stuff like that at the time. You know what I mean?
I mean, he did. 2003, he was one of the highest, highest rated actors or whatever, paid.
No, in 2003 because X-Men was 99.
Yeah.
He had already blown up by that point, and I think that's actually a great fucking pick, Ron. I'm going to tell Derek.
He could do it, yeah.
I'm going to tell Derek to sit on it and spin because we all saw The Last Samurai with Keanu Reeves, and it was called 47 Ronin. And
yes, we did. That is correct.
Look, Gary's on my side. He already brought that up, guys. We already agreed that it's fine. This totally works.
Timothy Beckett says, actually, this would be perfect for Kevin Costner. And he's actually not wrong, because it's basically, it's Dances with Wolves all over again.
I don't know why, guys, but I'm strangely into this. I am strangely on board. Look, Kevin Costner can get a lot of shit for a lot of things, and a lot of it is deserved. But when Kevin Costner is enjoyable, he's fucking enjoyable. And I actually think he'd be fine in this. I think he'd be fine in this.
Yeah,
he needs no accent. He can be stoic most of the time because Tom Cruise doesn't talk a lot. Yeah. I'm in.
Yeah, that's a solid pick, but I'm on board with Ron for Hugh Jackman on this one because I think he has the emotional range and the kickassery to pull off everything that's required for.
And then who is it? Davina actually says Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, that's interesting.
Who I would not be. Actually, I actually really, really like that pick because that guy is in everything. And even if you didn't see the movie, the Academy did. And then he, like, every year that guy gets nominated for like best actor, best supporting actor. And I would, every year I'm just like, he was in a movie? Like, well, the guy is just in everything.
And he had just come off the Lord of the Rings. Like,
yeah.
Because the last one came out in 2003, I think. So he would already been done, filmed with that. He would have the swordsmanship training to be able to step in and learn.
People who were fans of Aragorn would love to see that guy pick up a sword and take on the samurai. 100%. That's a great pick.
Too many good. There's too many good picks here.
Yeah,
that's a great good picks.
Well done, Davina. All right.
Let's move on to, this is the one that I was like, fuck, I forgot about this movie and I don't know why. Collateral.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
That's a hard one. He was great in that.
See, this is another one, and this is a lot like Interview with the Vampire, where like it's far out of his wheelhouse, where you're just like, who, like, it's not a Tom Cruise movie. Like, I always forget he's in it because he's so fucking good in that movie and he's so un-Tom Cruise. God.
It's so sad that that's your compliment.
I know.
He's so un-Tom Cruise.
But it's just, it's so rare to ever see him play a villain like that. Like, like the actual villain of the film, you just don't see him do that. And so for him to really play the antagonist is just, and he does it well. I remember watching Collateral and being like, why don't you do this more often? Like, you're fantastic at this movie.
Timothy Beggs says, refresh my memory. Collateral is where Tom Cruise is basically a hitman. And Jamie Foxx is a cab driver that he kind of ropes into driving him around to these three jobs that he has to do in one night. And it's Michael Mann, I think, director of films. So one probably his best in my opinion. I don't know. Heat's a great film too, but I actually enjoy Collateral a little more than I enjoy Heat. But anyway, Gary Horton said Russell Crowe.
Yeah, young Russell Crowe. That would be really good. That'd be solid. I could see young Russell Crowe. Speaking of Heat, I actually think Val Kilmer would do really well. I think Val Kilmer would be great as that kind of guy.
What? Let me look at where Val was in his career, because I just need to know if he was Fat Val by that point.
That's a good point. That's we got to know if he was Fat Val or not.
It does make a difference.
and Russell Crowe, for that matter.
That is true. But when was?
But I think this was. I think he was still in like his gladiator action phase. So
Collateral was 2004.
Ooh.
Oh, man, this is.
That might have still been. We might have had Fat Russell and Fat Val.
Actually, I have somebody.
Which would disqualify both of them.
2004, he was in Alexander. And I think he was star. He was still fine because he was on his way because Kiss Kiss Bang Bang came out in 2005. And he was starting to have a little bit of a gut.
Okay, no.
I've got somebody who could play super cold, I think, really well, and that's Ben Affleck.
No.
I think you're wrong.
No, I'm sorry. But look, Ben Affleck didn't discover acting until like 2010 when he did The Town. So anything before that doesn't fucking count.
I disagree with you a lot, but that's okay. Because in that case, then I'm changing my whole thing, and that's Adam Sandler.
I actually think Keanu Reeves might be an okay pick for this one.
You know,
he might be actually.
Christian Bale would also.
Oh
yeah, Christian Bale. Solid.
100%.
Yeah, and he's the kind of guy too that would like he would be fine donning like the gray hair and trying to like make himself a little bit more rugged because you know the guy will do whatever the role demands. I think he would be fine. I think Christian Bale would be really good. That's a good pick. This is a really hard one though. Tom Cruise nails this role, man. Oh man, he nails this role. This is a hard one to replace him with.
Yep. Okay, so we're only gonna do two quick ones and then we'll be out of time. I don't know anyone that could have filled this role. But Les Grossman from Tropic Thunder.
Oh shit!
You can't. Don't touch me.
What made that so funny was that it was. what made it so funny was that it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Doing that character thing. That's like what added into that.
And what's really funny, this is why Tropic Thunder is just so good, is the top six people that I would pick to play Les Grossman
are in the
already
fucking movie.
In Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
They're already there playing exaggerated versions of themselves.
I actually have somebody who would work, though. And he's, I think Jim Carrey actually would be good at that character.
Yeah.
Don't always like Jim Carrey, to be honest, but I think that he would nail a character like that.
Yeah, I think he'd be a little too much on the, like, and I look, I understand the character is comedic, but
yeah,
I feel like he's comedic because he's not trying to be comedic. And I feel like Jim Carrey would be, he can do serious.
He'd be over the top.
Yeah. But if you put him in that makeup and stuff like that, you're going to, that's, you know, I feel like he's going to be way over the top in the wrong way.
Somebody put Jeremy Piven. That's hilarious.
That is not a bad pick for that. I mean, he basically played that part in Entourage.
This is actually, somebody said Nick Cage for this one too. And actually, he would actually do well at that part. That wouldn't just be a joke.
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. Nicolas Cage.
I think he'd be okay. I think he'd be all right.
I think the way that Nicolas Cage can go like psychotic ranting, I think would work well for that part for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I could see that. I could see Nicolas Cage. I like Jeremy Piven. I think the problem is though, and this is why Les Grossman is so hard, because while Jeremy Piven, nobody does asshole like Jeremy Piven. Jeremy Piven is an asshole. Like, he's just not a good person in real life. And one of the things that makes Les Grossman so funny is that we know that Tom Cruise is not Les Grossman. So, you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes that so funny. Like,
so then we've got somebody to play that. Tom Hanks. You want somebody who's super likable playing a fucking complete asshole. Tom Hanks is perfect for it.
Rob,
honestly, as strange as that is, I don't think he could do it, but as strange as that is, I just like Dan would pay money to see Nicolas Cage, I would pay money to see Tom Hanks yell at somebody to fuck their own face.
Yeah, I absolutely that's the thing. I don't know that he would do it. I don't know that Tom Hanks would have taken that role.
Yeah.
But I think he would have fucking destroyed it. I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely do.
100%.
I mean, I think we're all forgetting a guy who is used to being in a fat suit. Mike Myers.
Just in a Scottish accent for no fucking reason.
You gotta go fuck your face.
Yeah. He's just a fat bastard. That's all he's doing. Oh my goodness. Okay. All right. Last movie. And that is, and the reason I'm picking this one, because again,
it's the hardest.
It probably could be just any other, you know, person, but I felt like Tom Cruise did some stuff in this movie that we don't normally see from him. There was action. He was also funny. There was drama. And that is, of course, I'm talking about The Mummy. No, Edge of Tomorrow is what I'm talking about.
Oh, I thought we were going to do Mission Impossible, but you're right.
Yeah, because that's the Edge of Tomorrow is the sci-fi flick where he keeps, whenever he gets killed or whatever, he goes back to...
That's such a good movie.
The basically sci-fi Groundhog's Day alien...
Just going back real quick, Jason Lane says Alec Baldwin for Les Grossman.
Not bad.
That's a pretty solid pick. Yeah, he already ran through his personal life like that, so this...
But at the time, I mean, the thing you were saying about, you know, you think of Tom Cruise, you think nice guy. Nobody has ever thought Alec Baldwin and nice guy in the same sense.
That's true.
No.
That is true. All right. Fair enough. Edge of Tomorrow.
Somebody said Bill Murray.
For Les Grossman or Edge of Tomorrow?
Edge of Tomorrow.
Edge of Tomorrow.
The joke being Groundhog Day.
Is it George Clooney? No, too old.
He's not too old. He just may look too old, but
he does look too old for that.
He's around the same age, so
yeah.
Look,
God, this one's hard. What year did Edge of Tomorrow come out? That is a good pick, Dan.
Yeah, Dan Williams said Will Smith. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
2014.
Yeah, I could see Will Smith. I could see Will Smith taking that on.
Yeah,
it would be. he'd be a little bit more comedic, I think. And it would air a little bit more on the side of Independence Day. But I think Will Smith could play that kind of fish out of water, action kind of guy. I think he could do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Jake Gyllenhaal is also, I think, is a good pick. Timothy Beckett said Jason Statham. Unfortunately, I love Jason Statham. I do. Yeah.
But no.
He's kind of got one speed, you know?
Yeah, it does.
I'll keep repeating the same day over and over.
It would be, you'd be really hard pressed to think of him as like an ROTC guy. But
no matter how many times I kick this robot.
Yeah, no, he'd be.
Because that's the thing, you have to buy him as this spineless media, you know, this figurehead that's just for the media. And then he has to grow into this warrior.
Yeah,
and while Statham could absolutely do the warrior part of it.
Yeah. Well, like what we know about Chris Hemsworth now, I would say he could do it. But 2014 Chris Hemsworth, I don't know if he would get that part.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Because I think if the movie was made in 2020,
yeah, like, it'd be interesting.
Then yes, but he wasn't developing comedic chops.
Dan asked if Josh Brolin was too old for this. Josh Brolin's actually like 6 years younger than Tom Cruise, so
he actually would be good.
I can actually see Josh Brolin doing it. I can see Josh Brolin being that guy.
Ooh, yeah. Charlie Cox from Daredevil.
Ooh,
I just like that.
Ooh, yeah,
he would kill that.
He's good, but 2014, I don't.
I mean, he's not it. 2014, he barely existed.
Yeah, I don't – hold on. I'm gonna find this out right now. But also, I think he's on the young side. But
another person who I was seeing on the top 10 list of highest-paid actors in 2014 that actually is interesting is Bradley Cooper. I don't know if he's too schwarmy for this part.
So was he still – so Bradley Cooper – was he still doing like? Was he still like in the midst of like the Wedding Crashers Hangover thing?
Or he might have been.
Like, had he started taking on different roles? Because I don't know that he would go back to like. I feel like Brad Cooper took like this. Like he did one really really dramatic role and was like, "I'm never going back." And so, then unless he was voicing Rocket.
To give you an idea, Hangover 3 came out in 2013.
Yeah. Okay.
So he had already started like. He had already hit his like peak, because is that?
I just don't know if he would do it.
Because he did like the A Team in 2010, so he'd already done a bunch of stuff that could like action esque. You know what I mean? Action comedy. So,
Gary, I love this guy, so I'll put him in anything. Gary Horton says Ryan Reynolds.
I mean, here's the thing about that role: it doesn't, and in that. That particular movie, I don't think that it has to be someone as old as Tom Cruise.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think so either. And honestly, I could watch a Ryan Reynolds Groundhog Day. Why that hasn't been made yet, I don't know. But I'm sold on it.
Hey, are you guys going to watch the Adam Sandberg Groundhog's Day?
The Palm Springs? I heard it was decent, but I would be on board for Ryan Reynolds. I think he'd be fine. I think Ryan Reynolds can do, just like you were saying, Mike, he can do that weaselly media thing and then transition into being like an action star. And I think it would be hilarious to watch him go through that sequence where she keeps killing him while he's training. I think that training sequence would be great.
And people don't generally think about Ryan Reynolds as far as like dramatic acting capabilities, but he has done a bunch of things. I mean,
he did
Amityville Horror. He's done a couple of other like, you know,
The Theory of Chaos. Like he's done a lot of stuff that's like he's more than willing to go outside of his wheelhouse. They're not like widely released films, but he does a lot of indie stuff too.
Yeah.
Well, what was the guy who's playing Barry doing in 2014?
Who's playing what?
Who plays Barry on Barry?
Oh, Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't buy Bill Hader as a would-be soldier, no. Like at all.
I guess that's true.
You know, there's the Chris Evans. I could see Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I could see Matt Damon.
I like Matt Damon. Liev Schreiber. Ooh. I like Liev Schreiber. Schreiber.
Yeah.
That's yeah, a good I like pick. That. That's a good pick. Yeah.
So I guess the moral of the story is this role was not as difficult in this movie to cast as I thought it was.
Yeah.
I would say that the two most difficult ones were Interview with the Vampire and Collateral, just because they are films that stand out as being different than the things that Tom Cruise does on a regular basis. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And that's we avoided certain films in his repertoire because things like Night
Color Money,
Day, Minority Report, Oblivion, they're basically like copies of other movies that he's done. And so like if you can recast Mission Impossible, you can recast
those ones. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So
And those ones don't stand out in my mind as like, it's Tom Cruise or nothing. You know what I mean? Like,
if you can recast Ethan Hunt, you can recast Jack Reacher. You know what I mean? Like that's All right. Well, that's it. We're out of time on that topic, but you guys in the chat crushed it.
Great suggestions tonight, guys.
I honestly think more often than not, you guys' picks were better than ours. So,
you guys did a fantastic. Exactly. Those are great suggestions tonight. There were names I wouldn't have even considered, and then they came up in the chat, and I was like, "Yes, how did we not think of that?" So great, thank you, guys.
Perfect. So, real quick, Ron, what do you got?
Well, NerdGoat is on hiatus for right now, but it looks like we will be coming back. I can't guarantee that yet, but there's things in the works, and it looks like we'll be coming back. You can check out Rebooted on YouTube, and in about a month, Ariel and I are coming out with Positive Spin, which I'm pretty excited about. Basically, it fits who Ron Swallow is to a T. Not talking about myself in the third person, but I'm totally talking about myself in the third person. And that's that... I appreciate all the work that people put into doing things. While I totally believe that movies deserve criticism, because they do, because the only way to get better is through criticism, I also would like to take a moment and watch movies and then enjoy parts of them. So the idea is we'll be watching movies that were like either like 50% hated or lots of hated, and then finding the good parts of those movies and being like, well, I liked this scene because this happened and this part was funny, or the lighting was cool in this, or I thought the costumes were great, you know, whatever it is that we find. One, it's a challenge. Two, it's fun to put out some positivity out there. So that's going to be coming out in probably about a month.
Awesome. Cool.
That's why I built this thing in the background.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I noticed your background was different. So cool. All right, Derek. What about you?
Yeah, guys, keep checking out the Nerdbot site. I'll have a bunch of reviews coming out. We'll have our Cinebooks review, but I'll have a written review for Old Guard, Hannah Season 1 and 2, our Nerdbot Cinema reviews. Waterworld turns 25 this month, so I'll be writing a review of that one, and unfortunately, I don't own it, and there is nowhere to stream it, so I will now have to buy Waterworld to write this goddamn article.
What is it, like $2?
I think to buy it, it's like $7.
Well, forgive Waterworld. That's starring the guy who was in The Last Samurai?
Yeah. I mean, I call it Dances with Wolves, but it's like the same thing. It's like the same movie.
Oh, it's like Avatar.
Yeah, for sure. So just a lot of really good stuff coming out, guys. I'm still writing all the time. And then Mike.
Who, me? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I run things here, so I should probably talk about things. So once again, if you haven't already, get on over to jackofallnerdshow.com and register for free to win this sweet, sweet Deadpool statue. Do it.
Hot.
It doesn't cost you anything, just your voice. I don't know where that came from. If you head on over and make sure to subscribe to the Jack of All Nerd Show on YouTube, because when we hit 2,000 subscribers, we're giving away this sweet Batman statue, and you're going to want to get your hands on it. These are good-looking statues, everybody. Real quick, in the chat, Dan Morham said, I would love it if you guys did this again. It was fun, and we are absolutely going to do this again. Next time, we're going to do it with an actress. So we'll pick four actresses.
Oh, sweet.
We'll all out, let people pick. And, I definitely would like to do this again. It was
a lot of fun, guys. I had a really good time with this. Yeah.
So, And yeah, once again, jackofallnerdshow.com or YouTube, just search Jack of All Nerd Show. We've got a ton of other cool shows aside from, you know, just this. We've got A Brief History of the Past, which is a comedic history show. We've got Midnight Society, which is where I watch and recap and review basically pretty much every episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark from the 90s. So check that out. We've got Cineblokes reviews. We've got all kinds, probably more shows of us in British accents than there should be. But if you're into that sort of thing, get on over there.
And like check it out. We are.
Yeah, exactly. So thank you all for tuning in. Ron, why are you getting weird with your cat?
Because she was old and she was probably going to go pee on something. So I had to grab her.
I thought you were just
pee on you. Okay, that's a weird thing. But
I thought you were turning into Blofeld or something. So, Mr. Bond. Anyway, this has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.